Hello and welcome to FPL Kopi Talks, where we try to keep good mental health and FPL excitement synonymous. I'm Anwar, I'm casual.
I'm ABK, the Arsenal loyalist.
And I'm Lukman, the contented one. How's it going, boys?
Before we start, right, I just gotta say something. It's 1-0 to the Arsenal, 1-0 to the Arsenal, 1-0.
Okay.
What do you think of Arsenal? What do you think?
That's the Spurs chant, bro.
No.
Arsenal, bro. Oh, I didn't know that.
I think, who would expect North London, top two, But yeah, I think this will last only until after the game week, after the international break.
When Spurs drop out, Arsenal will just stay up there for a while. Yeah.
Actually, Anwar was 50-50 coming to the pod because of your work commitments, right? But after, when I saw your World Cup team, right, I'm sure he will turn up.
He will rush back home, take back seat all, the grab all.
never in doubt. When I saw your team this morning.
Yeah, man.
Show treatment. Yeah, right.
He was most productive day at work today. He got a lot to finish.
All right, I guess it's time we start the pod proper. But before that, don't forget to follow FPL Kopi Talks on IG, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, and X.
Yes, and we're always working hard to provide up-to-date top content to partner you in FPL journey. So show us some love with a like, follow, and subscribe.
Also, if you haven't, do join our Telegram group where we're running our FPL Prize League. I'm really looking forward to today's pod. Without further ado, grab your beverage of choice. This is episode 86. The Lonely Haaland. Let's get into it.
Let's go!
Boss, kopi o satu, boss.
You're listening to FPL Kopi Talks.
It's Freddie Young back again. Push out by Bartes. Wilson!
Right here. Right now.
In this segment, Tall, Grande and Venti, we put our purely biased, highly opinionated ratings of this game week. Who wants to start?
ABK, you want to go?
I think I'll start first. Just to preface, I got a red arrow. Not a very big red arrow, but a red arrow this week. But still, this week's rating for me will still be a Venti rating because of the result that Arsenal put up against City. Yeah. So 1-0 to the Arsenal. It isn't a big red arrow for me. I think so. I think it will still be in the Venti range. Maybe if I were to put a rating out of 10, I'll give it a
7.5.
That's pretty high, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go next. Great FPL week for me, but it would have been better if Liverpool would have won. I think I watched 4 full games this game week. I think half of the games were pretty boring. So I'll probably go with 6.5 out of 10. Great FPL week, and other than FPL, the games were so-so and the results were so-so for my team. So I'll go with
6.5. Why are you talking so-so, bro? 1-0 to the Arsenal, bro.
Huh? Bro, I'm not.
It's great to be back on top. It's great to be back honest, on top.
It was a good result for Liverpool that Arsenal beat City. Right, I know.
Bro, talking about that, right?
It blows the league open. Yeah. I mean, there's so many contenders right now at the moment. Yeah.
Okay.
City running away with it. So that's
yes,
good for
that's
me.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Let go.
For me, it would have been closer to like a 9.36.
Wow.
But because I watched the Liverpool Brighton game and
what's the
0.64?
I cannot take the 0.36. It's really killing me right here.
9.36.
It's annoying me.
But, so the 0.64 is because Liverpool didn't win it.
No. I would go in there 9.36, but because of the 2-2 draw, right? If it stayed 2-1, it'd be 9.36. But at 2-2, I'm going down to about 8.43 lah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
about 8.43.
Because
of Liverpool draw. I am just not too happy with the game.
No, but you never explain why so high your FPL game week.
We get to that. To be honest, right, my FPL game week was good. I think I had 72 points. That's almost double the average points. Almost like a bit more than 1.7, I think. But overall, I think could have been a bit better. There were some last minute FPL tinkering that happened that I kind of regret this week. But all in all, I think good wildcard week. Good that Haaland and Son, I would say, did not perform in my bet on Salah to captaincy was the essential differential that I needed to push myself forward this week.
Essential
differential.
Yeah. Okay, so
shout out, man.
8.1, bro.
8.3, 4.3, 4.3, 4.3, 4.3, 4.3, 4.3, 4.3, 4.3, 4.3, 4.3, 4.3, 4.3, 4.3, 4.3, 4.3, 4.3, 4.3, 4.3, 4.3, 4.3 So the point is just coming in.
A bit here and bit there.
Just, you know, like the fringe players, like.
Okay.
Like just excellent. Sliding
okay, brew of the week. Brew of the week. In this segment, we discuss players or teams that had exceeded our FPL expectations, and we feel might go into a hot streak of brewing form. So the first one is just about right. Actually, I didn't want to brew them this week because I thought they were not FPL relevant. But my pop partners decided to suggested to brew these two. So the first one is
Okay, the reason why I suggested is because, I mean, we've spent so many weeks roasting them and Nicholas Jackson. All right. And then now, I mean, it's not just a one-off thing.
I haven't mentioned who.
Building up the suspense, man.
Yeah, I haven't mentioned.
I mean, you can guess, lah. I mean, it's the other London team, Chelsea, right? Right, I mean, they've been pretty bad the whole season. But I think past two game weeks, they've gotten the results. I think Chelsea and MM, we've been roasting Nicholas Jackson to no end. Right? So, I mean, it's only fair that with two good results in, a goal by Nicholas Jackson and a biggest haul for this week is Sterling, that we put them on the map back. We have to be fair to that one.
But I cannot tahan. Do you all see Jackson face when he scored that goal? Not? He made it look like he scored a worldie of a goal. No? like I knew I could do this. But yeah, it was interesting game. I think the starting lineup itself was a bit different from Chelsea. I think Cole Palmer started his first full game for this one. He also took the penalty. So interesting all around now. But I'm not sure if it's just Burnley again with the very attacking football, leaving gaps at the back, or and Sterling looked like he wanted to play lah. So the thing about Sterling that I still don't like, not say don't like lah, I mean like under Pep, right, he was very drilled. He was like every game he knew he had to perform his best. He had to prove Pep that he's worthy of his spot. But with this Chelsea team, I think he feels like he's a bit of a superstar. So if he feels like he wants to turn up, he turns up. And if he doesn't want to play, he doesn't play. So this game, I think Mbappe just that, oh, it's Burnley, yeah. let's go.
That's a good assessment of him as a player. Yeah. But I think on the other side, right, I mean, we are looking at also the asset Cole Palmer. Right, Palmer is at 4.9 million at the moment. And I think as opposed to what Anwar said about Sterling, Cole Palmer has got a lot to prove. I mean, he moved from a stellar City team to Chelsea, to the Chelsea team to get minutes in the team. Right, and then I think he's still young and he still has to prove himself. Right, so I do think we will see a lot from this guy this year. I think I'm quite excited to see that. And even as an FPL asset, I mean, he's on penalties, 4.9 million. I think the true litmus test for this Chelsea team will be the next game. It will be home to Arsenal. Yeah, so I think they've gotten results against teams like Burnley and Luton. They can show that they can score goals, four goals apiece, I think. All right. I think the next test against Arsenal will be the one to watch out for.
I agree with you. Okay. I think Palmer underlying for this game is pretty solid. I think 0.88 XG, 0.98 XGI. He had one goal, one assist. But he's on a yellow injury indicator though. 75% chance.
Injury.
Should be okay. Because we got the international break lah. Yeah.
It's a wait and see. Their fixtures turn hard lah. So maybe like if you instead of Nakamba, you want to put Cole Palmer on your bench, I think fine.
But since we're on Chelsea, right, one of my last, like, I had Sven Botman in my wildcard team. And then I was thinking, who should I do? He's injured, right? So I wanted to bring in Burn. But I was thinking, maybe I need a bit of a differential this week. And then Colville and Burnley look pretty good. And then I put in Colville, but I think 3 minutes into the game, they scored the first goal. Then I was like, shit, like, why am I still trusting Chelsea assets?
Who are your other options? Like Anderson, maybe? Or
actually, Crystal Palace defense is pretty,
oh,
pretty good, I think. But he has Johnston as a keeper,
Correct. It's like Colwill, let's give it a shot.
Outside shout also, I mean, since we're on the topic of this defender at this price point, is also Soufal. I think quite an interesting, has been getting racking up the assists quietly. I think the only reason why people don't have him in the team is because people are having Areola as the keeper, and then they don't want to double up on the West Ham defense. That's the only thing. But anyway, actually, the assist numbers are pretty good. I mean, he's going back to his form the last two seasons.
Kufal,
Kufal. Kufal, I don't know how to pronounce.
That was my other option. I should have gone with him.
Since you don't have Areola, I think Soufal was a good shout.
Anyway, he has Areola on the bench.
Yeah.
But actually, Kobe is fine.
We'll talk about that more later.
Yeah, I think Kobe is fine. That's your decision. Interesting. Okay. Next one, the team that we've been roasting as well is Manchester United. Let's talk about McTominay. He came up in the 87th minute and scored 2 goals. This was a horrendous game. I think both teams were so poor, I felt, in my opinion. I'm sure many United fans will agree also. Anwar, you wanted to brew
I think
them.
They needed a lucky break. They needed a lucky break. And I think that once McTom came on, I think being like a local lad, growing up with the academy and all, he should be more fire. And I have to give it to them. I think,
bro, he's Scottish, bro.
The last... What's he look? Scottish? No, he was from the academy, the United Academy.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So I think he's one of the like players who grew up there. He showed a bit of heart lah. And then I think it might just be the lucky break that this United team needed. And I would say for defensive midfielder, the first touch from McTominay before he scored that goal, that was exquisite, man. I think bringing in Scotland form into this team.
Yeah, what a clutch player, really. He came on clutch, last 10, 10 minutes clutch. And then scored 2 goals. Really so clutch. I mean, yeah, I think for me, the issue with Man United, looking at this game, is the defense. I mean, they need to get that sorted out. I mean,
injuries.
There's injuries. Martinez and Varane are their first team centre backs, and then now they're playing Maguire and Evans. Throwback.
Lindelof left back. Lindelof played left back.
Left.
Mbeumo, and Coach have done more, in my opinion, if that makeshift defense. So I thought Brentford didn't play well. Okay, and another defender is Christophe Ayer. I thought he played because I was looking at Rashford because still have him, right?
Actually, the defense played well. Pignoc and Collins were all super steady. I mean, they just dealt with everything that came to them. It was just the last 10 minutes. They couldn't cope with the physicality of McTominay.
I own Rashford. ABK own Bruno. ABK own Bruno. I own Rashford. So what do we do? Sheffield away, or was it at home? I think Sheffield. I don't think you should sell them right before Sheffield away.
I wouldn't be selling them. That spot is my spot to go back to Saka once the Chelsea game is over.
I think game week 10, right? Perfect transfer in game week 10 because when you play Man City and then Arsenal play Sheffield at home in game week 10. So it's a perfect easy transfer to me. So I think it's a hope for now, but not ideal.
So McTom, the United Rodri, should we put him in that class?
No. We can talk more about Rodri later.
let's not get hit ourselves.
What do you guys think of Højlund in this game? I thought his hold-up play was pretty decent. He created chaos I mean, the defenders had to deal with him in the middle, and I think that's something different that he bring compared to Anthony Martial up front. We see in the Champions League game he scored 2 goals. I mean, there's goals in him. I think the way Man U set up, we will be seeing goals from him. So I think he is a good he's a good alternative up front. So, Højlund.
I think when Garnacho came on. When he came on, Came on, I think, in the last.
For Rashford, I think Rashford came on in the. Yeah, Rashford went off.
It was a good decision, actually. I think Garnacho.
Actually, when Garnacho came on, the game opened up a bit more. Yeah. You could see when, because he was more direct in dribbling the ball, bringing the ball forward into the box. I think that opened up a bit more. And I based on Højlund's performances last few games, I think he's really promising. But if the team could get around him. Because right now, the main problem, like especially the first goal that you see that United conceded, right? The whole team was so static. Like, they were playing out of defense. And I think Casemiro, was it? He had the ball, but no one was moving. So it's very easy to mark the true passes. So if you have a setup like that, I think it's very difficult for Højlund to play with his back against the goal. He needs to be the one like running head on towards the goal, getting the crosses in, you know, the tap ones and all that, all the true balls. But yeah, again, too early to decide for me at least whether he'll be a success, because I think the team needs to build around his capabilities and capacities.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't mind Højlund just because if you can afford him, right? I think if you can't afford your Watkins, I don't mind going there, because below him, right, the 6.5 million, I don't think there's any strikers to own. But then I'm not really keen on buying him lah. As a free transfer, I'm not that keen.
Mm. Yep.
I would.
7.2 now.
7.2
million.
Yeah. Anything else on menu? Because I just wanted to touch a bit on Brentford.
Mbeumo,
Wissa. I'm going to ask you what we should do to them. But before that, I just want to shout out the 3.9 keeper. I think Flecken is injured. He showed pretty decent shot stopping against menu. Right? But I think he's. With the ball on his feet, not so good. His distribution, I think there were a lot of stray ones, not looking good on the aspect. But I think if in a short stopping front, I think he was pretty good.
I don't think so. His short stopping, bro, all his parries all go into like danger areas. I don't think he's a good goalkeeper.
Really?
I don't think he's... Like, if you look at his saves, right, all very straightforward saves, he didn't really push out wide. So I don't think he's a good goalkeeper on his feet and also short stopping. That is, he's out, right? What's his name? Flecken is out, right?
So I mean, if you're on a wild card and you need just to put as little money as possible in that one, you can just put possible 3.9 lah. But don't put him as your first keeper lah. Must have somebody coming in also.
Yeah, I guess you can do that.
Yeah. Okay, Mbeumo, Wissa, what do we do with them?
I think it's quite simple lah. I think it's a sell, right? The whole team doesn't look good, man. Like. Brentford, the team is very doesn't look inspiring. I think if you have Wissa still, it's an easy sell. And Mbeumo playing right back also at times when they want to attack, right, he's playing like a makeshift right wing back. So I think he's an easy sell. There's so many midfielders to buy, like even Mitoma, Brighton coming to good fixtures. Then you got your Diaby, you got your Netos. Yeah, I think it's not, because he's still on penalties, right? So it's not like a priority sell, but one I would think it's a sell. You agree?
For 1 million less, Neto, yes, also James Ward-Prowse in the mix. 5.5. Who else?
Four blanks in a row.
Yeah.
And Mbeumo, four blanks in a row.
Gordon is also 5.5. Yeah, Gordon.
Yeah, Gordon.
No, my only issue with Brentford is that, like, you watch the games, you don't really know what exactly the structure they are playing. I don't know whether it's just me, but I cannot really see like a proper team structure within this Brentford team.
So
they set up on paper with a 3-5-2 kind of setup, but. Sometimes they move to a 3-4-3 kind of setup. Sometimes they, I don't know, it just looks a bit messy. And then I think, like you know, in football setups, there's always the very structured one, like your Peps and Arteta's Arsenal and City. And I think Brentford is on the other end of the spectrum. So if it works for them, when everyone is clicking, everyone is on form, then you see Mbeumo, Wissa coming in. But right now, I don't see how Mbeumo and Wissa would come in with the goals except from penalties and from, nothing more than that. And they don't have a very strong midfield as well to support this forward, like I said.
Yeah, we talk about their midfield. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What I said is Jensen. I think somebody asked Jensen. He's 5.4. Yeah, I think he's got 3 goals from his 5 shots. So that says it all. Like. He's basically like an 8 who sometimes runs to the box. So yeah, avoid him if you can. Let's move on to Rose of the Week. In this segment, we discuss players or teams that could have done much better this game week and deserves their Rose coming their way. So let's start with Sun. So
it's a curse.
Got on this.
It's this curse. I mean, let's address it. I mean, they've been saying how like the most
the curse transfer of the game in, week in.
Yeah, yeah, the most transfer in
Trippier broke the curse.
Every game week, right?
Trippier broke the curse. They, I think Trippier broke the curse.
They will not perform that week. And then some fell to this. Yeah.
So you got subbed out 70 minutes, right? So so-called there's fitness issues, but watching the game, right, I thought he looked sharp. I think his pressing was okay, it was good. I don't think he looked unfit per se. So yeah, that's my take. What do you guys think? Yeah. On Sunny Boy.
I mean,
who owns your own son, right?
Yeah, for Sun owners, I think it's a bit unlucky that they got red carded.
Yeah, it's unlucky.
They got one red card early on in the game with Bisuma.
Bisuma had it coming from last week.
then after that, it was just going to be in a mode where they have to defend and sit deep. So I think
To
be fair, Bisuma didn't complain. He just walked off the pitch. He knew he was. That's something that I applaud him for.
But I'm quite walking out. I'm quite surprised that he actually got a second yellow for simulation. Like I thought, generally you wouldn't expect referees to be too harsh on this kind of thing. And
I think he got the second yellow.
Where's that referee when we need him in the Arsenal game?
No, but like that simulation, I mean, it was like to me, right? Like, I mean, from I know we had a few VAR calls against us, against Spurs last week, but I felt that it was a bit tough on that second yellow to get the red card, And then it's not even a simulation to a goal scoring opportunity, man. But Son,
you guys,
I think it became Captain Son, right?
Yep, yeah, I think for me, it was. I mean, there was that curse of the most transferred in player of the game week.
Yeah.
Also, that curse of the early kickoff, right? The Gandhi curse, right?
Gandhi.
I knew that I brought in Sun for this fixture against Luton. I didn't want to overthink all these curses. Right? Just put it on tape. But I mean, at least it's 1 point more than Haaland.
But yeah, I just want to get to that. I was in between choosing Son and Salah as captain. But the reason why I went for Salah was Son is because Son has not completed 90 minutes in the last 4 or 5 games. But Salah has. So that was my key point.
And Big Ange is not, averse. I mean, he's not, he doesn't keep Son for the whole 90 minutes. He's not scared of subbing in his substitutes to play that position.
Yeah. I think it's a pre-planned transfer. I don't think it's tactical per se. I think.
Richarlison stayed on despite the misses.
Yeah.
Richarlison.
You want to roast him also?
You want to roast him, but like, form a bit.
The more you roast, 1-2 weeks forward, I think they will start coming back.
Son is a bit unlucky. As a non-Son owner myself, right? I thought I was a bit lucky because if non-red card and the chances he created, and he also wins a few. Let's move on to the next roast. Is Man City. I wanted to brew Arsenal, but EBK said no point brewing the team that just beat Man City. We can just talk about Arsenal after roasting Man City. Man City could just manage, wait. Man City could only manage just 4 shots the entire game. This is the least number of attempts Man City have ever managed under Pep. So is it like a Arteta masterclass? Anyway, Haaland failed to shoot even once or so in the entire game.
Yeah, 0 XG, right? You know, we've been discussing about how Man City is a one-man team, right? With Haaland just getting all the goals, right? But actually, that one man in that one-man team is not Haaland. It's actually Rodri. Yeah. 3 games without Rodri, 3 losses, right? And I really like that because I think that's one of my favorite positions in the team, right? When you look at the best teams in the world, look at Ballon d'Or winners, right? There's always like this defensive central midfield player that is, you know, solid. You know, like when you think of Messi, you think of Busquets, Xavi, Iniesta.
Yeah.
And when you think about Ronaldo, you think about that. He had Casemiro, he had Sami Khedira, he had Xabi Alonso, Cruz behind him. Yeah, so you think about like this midfield players, and it really shows that these are players, although they don't get, Rodri does come in with the goal and assist, but they don't get much recognition in terms of like Ballon d'Or and all that. But I think the team, a winning team, a treble team, cannot survive without that defensive central midfield position. And I think that's a big
miss. You want to segue to Declan Rice?
Yeah, I mean, both Declan Rice and Thomas Partey, they were solid. So Thomas Partey, when he came on for John Jorginho, I thought we had more control in the game, right? And I don't know, it's just his presence, man. Like when he came on for Jorginho, that presence of having Rice and Partey in the midfield, right? I think it gave me hope, like, gave me that hope that we could snatch one in the end, and we did. Yeah, so they're solid. I mean, central midfielders is not an FPL set, so I think we don't talk about them anymore. Yeah, but as in, right. It's just a really, really important.
What do you think of the game?
I think Ake got really... Sorry?
Taiko. Before this pod, he used the word Taiko.
Taiko lah. Okay lah.
Masterclass.
The goal is Taiko.
It's a masterclass, bro.
I mean, what Logan said, the goal looks Taiko, but you got to create those chances for it to go in the first place. You got to give it to us now. I think this was a very good defensive display from this Arsenal team. And I think like what ABK say about Rodri missing, we see a very disjointed attack. So it's interesting, right? Like the players that Pep tried to bring in this summer were players who could carry the ball more. So like Kovacic was brought in because he could ball carry more. Guardiola was brought in. Doku was brought in. Yeah, these players were brought in because apparently he feels that...
Kovacic or Xhaka?
Because
look tell like the difference Shaka. There. This last game.
Yeah, bro, you won, bro. It's okay, so, bro. You won.
So Kovacic and Jorginho, they say they were the battle of the midfield, Chelsea midfield rejects. So it's interesting because one of the reasons like Pep brought in this player is because he felt that, you know, like tiki taka, this kind of football, counter pressing is almost everything is set up to counter press. And he wanted players who could bring the ball forward. But I guess it's just a few games too early for us to really see the success, or whether this is just Pep masterclass or Pep genius coming along. But I think at the end of the day, it just shows that this team is still reliant on Rodri picking up the ball, picking up the passes, really cleaning things up at the back, and that the ball carrying abilities of maybe Kovacic and the rest were not highly... Sorry?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not.
Rico
we're not
played
as,
the KDB role, like, essentially.
Yeah,
right. Rico
played the KDB role. Pep rates Luis a lot, but okay. What's interesting is that, like, despite all this, right? I think this Rodri absence, I'm actually quite scared in some extent, because this Rodri absence actually forces Pep to make the tactical changes that he needs to accelerate the tactical changes that he needs with these new players coming forward. And we know that with great managers, and Pep is a great manager, like success comes through adversity. And I'm honestly a bit scared to see what's the outcome of this adversity that City is coming through. Because they're going to steamroll, man. I'm not saying that. I trust him to come up with a solution to this. And okay, he's lost 3 games in a row, and Pep's not going to take that. But what I'm scared as a rival fan, and knowing and I really respect Pep for his tactical genius, I'm just scared of the monster that they might create out of this adversity, because they have the depth of players to come out of this. He's got Nunes, he's got Kevin Phillips, his bench is just like Enrico Luis, and all the youngsters, they are just excellent. Yeah, so. Yeah, I'm just saying that it might just be a short down deep, yep. But it might get better in a bit.
Yeah, on an FPL fan, I think I'm quite happy.
You're so Foden.
Yeah, I'm so Foden. I'll get to my team.
Why
later.
Do you do that?
Because okay, I didn't want 2 Man City players against Arsenal. Like. I mean, my description is Arsenal loyalist.
Loyalist. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. just to touch on a bit, Haaland. I think I'm quite glad that Haaland got 2 blanks in the last 2 games. I think a lot of people start thinking, like, hey, is Haaland as good Haaland still essential? Can we start not captaining him? I think
Raptor didn't have him on his wildcard, right?
Yeah. So Raptor. I think that's starting to creep on everyone's head now. Maybe Salah is
a good thing for you,
viable captain choice. And I think I'm quite happy with that, because I think once Rodri is back, Haaland will be back. So I think I'm just going to stick my captain to Haaland and be without Salah, and I think I'm quite optimistic with that. A lot of people will just tinker between Salah, Son and Haaland, and I'm just going to stick to Haaland all 5 games.
There's no reason to doubt Haaland. Anyway,
he dropped
his
ownership
to
4%.
That's
quite a lot. So Lukman didn't pull the trigger last week.
Yeah, because Saka is injured. Because I had to fix other fires, but I was really tempted to. But then, anyway, there are a few content creators who really legitly went without Haaland on a wild card. I think Raptor is not the only one. So yeah, anyway, let's talk about Foden. I own Foden. I'm really afraid that, because the next game is Brighton at home, I think that's a very good fixture for, like, let's captaincy Haaland and also for Foden also. But I'm afraid that, because Doku and Grealish is on the bench, right? So I'm really afraid that he might not even start, like, post-international break. I'm hoping he doesn't get much minutes for England. But yeah, I'm afraid of Foden. I'm thinking Foden is a loosely, like, you can sell him, just in case. But if he starts, then...
Especially if you have a team like yours, where your bench is quite thin, you know what I mean? Like, I think you have, like, the 4.0s on your bench, right? So if he doesn't play, it's, like, I don't know who's on the bench, but maybe Cabore or something like that will play. I don't know who's on your 4.0.
Let's talk... I don't know. I think let's move on. Let's move on.
No. Yeah, a quick touch on one Arsenal asset, 4.7 million, nailed defender. I think a lot of people has left him. A lot of people started with him in the team, and then now they've looked past him already. 4.7 million, I think, is great value for Gabriel. And agreed. I think both those guys, Saliba and Gabriel, was massive against Man City. Yeah. So I think 4.7 million.
Yeah, but
that's
back,
the guy though. To go to.
No worries, huh?
No, I mean, looking at how Gabi has played in the past few games, it's gonna be stupid to drop Gabi. I think. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Fair enough. I agree with. I want to sell Vardell. I think, and I need to release a bit of funds there. I think that is the transfer I'm looking at to buy Gabriel. Okay. Let's move on to Kopi Takeaways. In this segment, we'll be tackling burning questions head on, discuss key assets to look out for, highlight trends and strategies for the upcoming game week, and answer the questions that you have shared with us on IG and TG. So there's a question by our good friend Faris Lau. He asks, how does ABK feel without Salah? And then there's Eugene asking, is Salah essential? And then there's Rich, a good friend of the pod, saying -4 to get Salah. So yeah,
ABK. Yeah, so all Salah. Discussions on Salah. I'll be without Salah. Surprisingly, I'm feeling quite zen about not having Salah. Like, although he just came in with a big haul, and I mean,
did you watch the game?
I didn't watch the game. Yeah, but I feel quite zen. I feel quite zen. I don't know whether it's a false sense of confidence, but I think it's something I already touched on a bit when I spoke about Haaland just now. I think if those people who have Haaland and Salah every week, it's you have to decide between Salah, Haaland, captain, right? For me, I'm without Salah. Right, but I'm just gonna stick the captaincy to Haaland all the way. Right? So I mean, if you listen to the previous few pods, the rationale behind not having Salah is this idea of points per million. Right, so as long as I put all my money into my first 11, I maximize the amount of money I have on my first 11, and I have decent players to make up for Salah's, you know, hauls and big points. I think over time, over the long term, the points will come in for me. I mean, we see with Trippier this week, right? I mean, if you have Salah, I mean, you probably won't have Trippier in the team. So if Trippier, he's just ticking along with the points now. I think over the long term, that's okay. So I'm feeling still a bit zen, right? But I could die.
He's only zen because Arsenal beat City 1-0 and still high from the roof.
That could be the reason.
He probably totally not, he'd probably be like, wow,
independent, right? Independent
points. I think it has to do with. I mean, like, I have this.
It works. Yeah. Which is a good thing, because FPL on emotions is not a good thing.
Correct.
I just want to touch.
That's something.
If I was ABK, I think, but I don't know. ABK kind of like made his bet when he bought Luis Diaz. In my opinion, because he kind of like leave the cover thing, right? But even if you didn't buy Luis Diaz, let's say you are the one asking, right? I still think. It's fine, just relax. You're going to captain Haaland against Brighton at home. That's like a hat-trick potential. So you just chill. You don't make rash decisions. And just wait for 2 weeks and then re-evaluate before Salah scores another hat-trick at Everton. At Anfield.
Yeah. I think maybe I just want to touch on something. Like, at the end of the day, right? I mean, you can always look at another team and then say, I wish I had a person's team instead of my own team, right? But I guess at the end of the day, I think what really, like, if you look at successful FPL managers, they had a very clear vision, not say vision, they had a very clear strategy of what they wanted to do. They stuck to it and they let the games do the talking. So I think some people were quite stressed out, like, shit, I should have picked this substitute instead of this player on the bench. But once the game week transfers are done, right, that's it. You can't do anything about it. There's nothing you can stress about it. But just to enjoy the game. So ABK has already made his stand, right? Made his stand. He's not going to get Salah because he wants to convince himself that the point per million exceeds like the any benefit that Salah has. But Salah has had 10 goals and assists. Sorry, not 10 goals. 10 like goals slash assists. Yeah, goal contributions so far. And nobody's hyping him up at all. And I think he deserves a lot more credit than that. So, in my opinion, if you're still not on your wildcard and you are considering bringing him for the wildcard, please do so. Because I think you're going to miss out.
Yeah, wildcard is a must-have, for sure.
This Liverpool team without Firmino, without Mane, right? The responsibility of creating, the responsibility of supporting from a very senior leadership position falls on Salah. And we see that Salah is a lot less greedy. He's willing to give up the chances. And the players are willing to support him as well. I mean, Harvey Elliott has taken the first goal. But he probably heard Salah said, leave it. And he left it.
No, he probably had Salah in his... He probably captain Salah in his FPL team. He should.
Yeah.
Okay, but what's your argument? Just a small analysis, right? I thought Salah was actually quite periphery for the large periods in the game, in my opinion. But if you look at the stats, right, he still got like 5 shots, 2 big chances, and of course a penalty. Like even on a bad day, right? So this is actually a bad point for non-Salah owners, because on a bad day, he gets 15 points. So yeah, I don't know. I still think like if you make your bet, right, like ABK, I still think don't panic, just chill. Your team is still, unless your team is in terrible shape, then wildcard is a must. And then Salah is your first name in your wildcard draft for sure. Yeah. But other than that, hits and all, Rich, don't take a hit. Rich, just chill and yeah.
Personally, I wouldn't take a hit for any transfers at this point in time. 4 points is too much.
Of course, you played your wildcard and had a meteoric.
No, I mean like even if you're...
I don't want to take hits.
Hits are fine. I'm not saying hit. I think hits are fine. I'm good. Okay. Let's the next question from our good friend Kenny Keegan. So like he asked about captaincy. So Haaland versus Salah versus Son for captaincy. So in my opinion, right, I think Son shouldn't be in the conversation because of his minutes. Unless we see him play like 90 minutes for like 2-3 games in a row, then you can consider him. But other than that, I think it's between Haaland and Salah, right? Yeah. And between those two,
I think I'm the only one with this captaincy conundrum right now because I have Son, Salah and Haaland in my team. Okay. And honestly, like what Lokman said, Son is out of the picture for a very long time. Even against Luton, right, like he didn't even look tasty as a captaincy option. I just feel that with Son, he can return, but not on a very consistent or regular basis. And he doesn't come in with those assists. With Haaland, he just comes in with the goals. The assists are like secondary. Salah is a bit of both, right? And Salah is a midfielder. Salah scores the goal from a midfield position. He gets his assists. And, okay, but the only dumb thing about Salah is that I can't think of any. So without Rodri,
your glasses are like the Liverpool tinted glasses.
But without Rodri, I would not go with Haaland. But Haaland is like a flat track bully. If you're looking like a Luton, you're looking like a Burnley opposition, you're looking like a Brentford or a Sheffield, then Haaland is my go-to captain. But if you're looking at like next week against Everton,
from,
right?
From what you're saying here, are you going to stick your set of forgot captain to Salah or are you going to assess week to week?
I will assess week by week. Alah. So for example, like next week, City
Brighton is, home, City's Everton playing? Home. I think
City is playing Brighton at home and Liverpool playing Everton at home. I will go with home. Salah.
Early kickoff.
Yeah. For me, right?
I will go with Salah.
Really?
For me, yeah. Right, I have this idea that you just stick to one in the next 5 game weeks, right? So why I say next 5 game weeks is because I think after the 6th game week, I think Liverpool plays Man City. I think that one is anybody's call.
No, wait, you're talking about your team, right?
Anybody's team. Even if you have Haaland and Salah on your team, right? You should just stick to one. Right, because I think if you want to tinker captain each week, right, you will just miss. You end up missing the big hauls, right? Even though the fixture might look better for another person, I would say just stick.
I disagree, man.
I can't disagree.
Yeah.
So statistically,
you can have options, sir.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So the thing is, like, you never know when they gonna haul. You see, like, I think one game week, right, the Man U is playing Man City. Right, and then Liverpool plays an easier fixture than Man U, I think. Right, in that game week, I think a lot of people will go for Salah captaincy, right? But
Man U is an easy fixture, though.
Yeah, but I mean,
I kind of disagree with you because you're looking like statistical probability, home, yeah. right? Mm. So what ABK is saying is that we're looking at a game 5 weeks statistically. There will be some big holes, there will be some small holes, and then if you tinker, right, then the probability of you hitting the big hole. But I kind of disagree because I feel that each game a probability is individual. And like it's like the next game's result is not dependent on the previous game result. And that is why, personally for me, the one with the captaincy conundrum, I will look at it from a game-to-game basis. And that's the fun of it.
We'll see.
I'm going to captain Haaland over Liverpool over Everton for Salah because it's an early kickoff. Liverpool won't play Diaz and Darwin because of the North America thing. So I think it's a bit disjointed, that game. So I think Brighton at home, right? Brighton is quite bad. I think Liverpool could have scored a lot and they just conceded 6 against Newcastle. So I think Haaland is my pick. But still got 2 weeks to decide.
I'm choosing Liverpool because this is a Merseyside derby. And if you know, Merseyside derby is always special. And with all things special and all things Liverpool, Salah is always the center of it. And I think...
There's no doubt about it. I'm not saying... Okay, let's move on. It's quite close. But I disagree with... I disagree with ABK. But you don't stick to one. You can choose. Yeah, I think if you have options, you just go with your gut and hope for the best.
This is exactly why ABK puts himself outside of this problem. So he doesn't have to worry about it.
Correct. That's exactly the reason.
Okay, next question from Ming Wong. Please discuss if Huang and Jensen, both 5.5 million, are viable low-cost options. So in my opinion, they are not. So basically, Huang, I talk about Jensen, right? He's got three goals from his 5 shots. I think Huang also, 12 shots in total, right? He got 5 goals. So if you want to choose between those two, I think you just get Huang because he's actually a striker playing midfield. And Jensen is a number 8. But I would just go for 0.3 more for Neto, 0.2 more for Gordon. If you want to, I think a main one is on his work card, I think. So yeah, I think just try to get your Gordon and just a bit more. Next question for ABK from IG, right? I think this is his burner account. He always asks from his burner account. For ABK, is Trippier essential for a hit? And does Newcastle defense cover his points? Does Newcastle double defense? So I'm assuming he has double defense and he doesn't have Trippier. Actually, I don't answer this because you don't have Newcastle defense at all, right? What do you think? Is Trippier
At the end of the day, when I look back, I still feel like it was some naivety on my part lah. I just rush. Not say rush lah. Like, sometimes you're a bit itchy. You feel like you could do a bit more of your team, and then the transfer deadline is in 4 hours away. And then should I not do it? Yeah, but I think with Trippier, my stand is the same. For this weekend, I think we had the most clean sheet this weekend. We had 1, 2, 3, 4 clean sheets. Still, on a good clean sheet weekend, right, it's only 40% of the games that you have clean sheet. So I still stick to my point that if you want a defensive asset, you should get some attacking defensive asset. And in that case, Trippier would be you can say two other defensive asset can cover for one Trippier. You get what I mean? Do you get my point?
I just feel like I shouldn't have asked Anwar because the question is Trippier is actually for hit. He doesn't even believe in hits. So I actually should ask ABK. ABK, quickly answer the question.
No, not for hit. Word essential quite strong. Not essential to have Trippier in a team.
He really has double Newcastle defense, right? Don't upgrade your Newcastle defender to Trippier. Just concentrate on other parts of your team.
Yep.
Okay. Shout out to JC in the Telegram chat.
So just quick correction, it's not that I don't believe in hits. I just feel that I don't believe in hits to bring more points to the team. A hit to fix a fire is fine. But if let's say you're feeling like, your team is not...
Wait. What do you mean by bring more points to the team? You take hits for
I think, let's say for example,
What are injuries?
Mbembo is not performing. Mbembo Risa is not performing. Okay. So I'm taking a hit to change these two to another player. So I don't believe in that. But I believe in if you have 4 players out injured and you need to take the hit, then that's okay.
Okay.
You get what I mean? Yeah.
Understood, bro. Bro, the JC guy on Telegram is your friend, no?
No.
Quite chatty, and thanks Kenny for answering his questions.
Also when you were shouting out the Telegram group, I think shout out to Rohit as well. I think he answered a few questions. I think there were questions on the 4.0 defender. I think he said that Taylor is like the
any?
Best.
Do you know any?
Best 3.9 million defender. I think Ming Wong, Charlie, I think Taylor. He asked whether starting Evans is a viable option. So So I think it's a good answer there with Charlie Taylor or even like any 4.0s, Dark Hill or something like that.
Doty from Luton.
Bro, Doty. Okay, I wanted to say on a Telegram chat, but I forgot. But Doty is, there's another guy played left wing back, so I forgot his name. I forgot him. But like they rotate their wing backs. Like, see, Carbori also being rotated. So I wouldn't go there. He's 4.4, I think, and he's also quite expensive. Just go for the cheaper bargain. Just save the 0.3, 0.4. Yeah.
Focus on your first 11.
Okay. I'll go off the menu differential pick.
Off the menu differential pick.
Bro, the Dahil scrape your Colville clean sheet, bro. Right.
No, he's not. He's not my
name. Wrong side. Lyle Foster. Bro, I thought Tresor Scott's speaking of Tresor.
Come on, Tresor. Man. The guy, the company, after two games, I gave him chance to play Tresor. I don't want to play Tresor. I mean, this game, he played Tresor. Come on, man.
Okay. Off the menu, differential pick less than 5%. Maybe we should change it to less than 3%.
Oh, Okay,
from last week.
I'm just going to go through with the recap from last week. So we all thought it was going to be an exciting one. I went with Douglas Lewis, who was at 5.4 million and I think it was 2.4% selected.
He actually got 5 shots in the game. I saw the stats.
Yeah.
Lukman
went with Dominic Solanke from Bournemouth, 6.4 million, 2.8%. And ABK went with the recently recovered Big Dom. And it was one disappointing
Big Dom is
off
me,
the
bro.
Mini pick. No, Big Dom is you.
Both are Doms.
Oh, sorry. Dominic. This year. Yeah, Big Dom, Solanke, and Dominic. I just realized we had two Dominics.
You should have gone for Solanke, bro.
So I think Solanke. So who won? Only returned 1 point against Everton. That's really disappointing. Douglas Lewis with 2 points. And DCL with 2 points. So it's really another tiebreaker here. And ABK won because DCL is on a slight lesser own 1.5%.
Come on!
But to be fair,
so
DCL
moving forward, right?
Had a lot of good chances.
Yeah, I mean 3-0 Everton. Everton.
He did return.
After 7 weeks of zero clean sheets by Pickford, and then finally he decided when everyone's gotten Pickford out of the team, right? Or like played Turner over Pickford or what? Then he decided to clean sheet and bonus points. Annoying.
But lucky get Johnston. I look back, I'll be like, ah. but just a quick one about Everton, right? Like. The Korea, I always thought he was a defensive midfielder, but he's been playing a lot more forward this season.
He is, like. He used to play number 10 for...
Because of Onana, I think. Because Onana is playing a deeper role. Onana and Kai, so I think Dokari got more...
Okay, let's move on to the picks. Ano, go first. We are running
My pick for next week is none other than the Korean guy himself, Hwang Hee-chan. So, they will be beating Bournemouth next game week. And then he's at 5.4 million. And get this, it's 0.7% ownership. So I'm going below 1% this time. So in case of any ties, hopefully I get a hit. I get this one over the line.
Okay, VK next.
0.7.
I got to say that I'm trying to go as low as possible. I'm going to beat you in terms of the ownership. In terms of the lower ownership. Basically, I wanted to go for Gordon. Right, but then I just realized only that he is above 5% now, so I can't choose him. So I'm going to for a person that is like a low ownership again. So the person I'm going for this week is Callum Hudson-Odoi at 0.3% own.
Okay. But if he performs, I think Awoni is out injured, right? I don't know whether he'll be back. Yeah. He'll be back after the international break.
Chris Wood, right?
But the front three of Ilanga, CHO, and Awoni looks quite promising, actually.
Yeah, that's another side of the example.
Yeah, keeping Morgan gives out of the team also at times. Yeah. So, anything else on Cho?
No. Nothing
else.
Forrest bought him for 3 million only. That's crazy. That's like bargain, man. Yeah. For someone his talent. Like. Yeah. Okay, so
just so that Chelsea can clear their wage. How about you? Yeah, Longman, so you haven't said yours.
going with the same team, right, I was also thinking of the ownership. So I'm going with 0.0% Same team as Cho. His name is Murilo Santiago Costa dos Santos. He's a centre back, 4.5 million.
Starting, bro.
he actually had two shots on target and created two chances. You know, he just started like two games ago. Like, he's a young Brazilian. He actually looked good in that game. He got one mazy run if you watch the highlights, and he got one long ball for Gibbs White also when he hit the post. So I'm hoping for a tie. So a tie is a minimum, and a tie will bring me to a single point with 0.0%. That was last I checked this morning. I'll check again later. Murilo. This is...
Oh, Murilo.
We are all going for the low percentage now.
Yeah.
Oh, what a rule, man. What a rule.
Center back. Okay. Is it teams next? Shall we go? Let's start my team quickly. So, I had 60 points net after my hit last week. 2.7 to 1.6 million. So that's quite a healthy green arrow. That's like 1.1 million green arrow.
That's quite
so
good, actually.
Yeah, decent. Captain Salah. So I have Pickford and goal. 9 points. Thank you very much. I have Trippier, Vardiol, Cash, Salah, Madison, Rashford, Foden, Archer, Haaland, and Morris. So yeah, my team, despite a good game week, right, I still think, even though Man U won and I won this game week, the team still is in bad shape. I have to admit that. And I'm still thinking another hit will solve my problems instead of if I can hold my team longer. So my current plan is Foden to Diaby and a hit for I can upgrade Nakamba to Neto or Gordon. That means I don't have to play Archer. Yeah, because I think Morris is fine for now, like to play every week because he's still on pens and all. But Archer really cannot. I cannot start Archer, and this hit will mean that I will pay 3-5-3-5-2 going forward. And yeah, for a hit.
Yeah,
so
I think
you're keeping your keepers, right?
For me, your Foden is a priority transfer, right? Because I mean Foden is a rotation risk.
Not really priority. Yeah,
You have both Foden and Vardy on the team. So I mean, those two guys could anytime not play a game. And then how your bench is looking, right? We're not sure whether Botman's coming back. You should be taking these guys out now.
But what do you think my transfers? Foden to Diaby, Nakamba to, let's say, Neto. I like Neto, man.
Yeah, I also like Neto.
Then my team will be same as Walker. Same as Anwar. Almost the same. And he Walker.
You don't have Watkins, though. You don't have honest, consistent worker, Watkins. Maybe I run through my team?
Yeah, let's move on.
I don't have my team up. 42 points this week.
Wait. I forgot to say my transfers. So I took hit for I took hit from Saka. I sold Saka to Madison and Estupinan to Cash. So one thing to take note, right? I could have gotten Sun, but I had to buy like 4.5 million defenders. All the 4.5 million defenders I considered, right? All return. I considered Van der Ven, I considered Kufa, I considered Christopher Mitchell. So all return. But I wanted Cash long term. I wanted to catch long term, so I just went for Meadow and just went without Sun. Okay, EBK, go.
Yeah. So 42 points this week. Not the best. But actually, I wasn't far away from my safety score, to be honest, because my safety score was only 48. I'm only like five points away. If I started Turner instead of Areola, I could have gotten that 5 points to keep me afloat on the safety points. Yeah. So anyway, how I set up is in a 3-5-2. I got I started Botman, but I knew that Gabriel was coming in, so I was banking on Gabriel to keep a clean sheet against Man City. So Gabriel 8 points, Cash 2 points, Trippier 6 points. In my midfield, I got Madison, Bowen, Son as my captain, Luis Diaz, who I transferred in this week, and Bruno Fernandes. And after I got Watkins and Haaland. So I transferred in Diaz this week because it's a simple cover for Salah because I didn't have Salah and I didn't want to have two Man City players playing against Arsenal. So I thought Luis Diaz was the guy for me. But I think he could be a rotation risk going forward. So I think I think Lukman's son got something to say about my transfer. not looking great. Why DS?
So what's your planning? What transfers are you planning?
Yeah, bro? So I got no transfers planned, to be honest. My team is looking good for the next game week. So no transfers planned. I'm going to set up in the same way, except with Turner in goal.
Turner in goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your captain will be Haaland lah for the next game week.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. 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 I think you. Yeah. You didn't have much of a captaincy option besides Son and Haaland.
That's the reason why I'm not getting Salah in my team, so that I don't have to have this conundrum. Yep.
So I had a wildly successful wildcard week, in my opinion. I felt that my team was very close to what Lokman's team was. Like a lot of moves had to be done with a hit. And I managed to get I transferred out both of my keepers. I had a revamp of most of my midfield. The only players who remained in my squad was Haaland, Diaby, Salah and Kabore. And I low-key regret keeping Kabore lah. I think there are better 4 million options than Kabore. And I made another. So my team now, I started with Johnston in goal, Poro, Cash and Colville. And I think Colville is the last minute decision tinkering that shouldn't have happened. And then I have Madison, Son, Neto, Diaby, Salah in midfield, captaining Salah. So Salah the returns. And Haaland and Watkins up front, right? So I have a very weak bench. I've got Archer, Kabore and Al-Dakhil. So my bench combined only had 1 point. And with Areola, that's 2 points lah. So what I'm going to do next week is, okay, so I put myself
That's actually good. So yeah, actually, I like when my bench don't get points.
At least you don't regret,
you made the correct decisions with your team.
And I
like that the money is just fully invested in the first 11. I think that's good. And this fodder players and on the bench are also playing players.
They got some points.
So even if there's some freak injury or some last minute suspension or some injury, right, these guys can just come in for that 1 point and 2 point. So I really like the shape of it.
Yeah. And then I think a lot of you guys, if you're listening to this, I think you might be thinking of going in for the wild card this game week, especially the international break and looking at the run of fixtures. Let me just share with you the points that I saved. I could not have done this, I could have earned or afforded this team if I'd gone in with the wildcard later on in the week. So for example, let's see, I have Poro. Poro increased by 0.1 million. Let me just share with you the players that increased by 0.1 million throughout the entire week. Poro increased by 0.1 million. Cash increased by 0.1 million. Madison and Son, 0.1 million. Neto increased by 0.1 million. Watkins, they increased. Colville also increased by 0.1 million.
Yesterday, actually.
Yeah. So in total, and Saka actually went down. So I had Saka in my team, which had to go down.
So
I saved that 0.1%, 0.1 million on Saka. And I actually made 0.7 million, in that sense, right? 0.7 million in this team, which I would not have been able to afford.
Yeah.
So I think, I won't say to some extent, I got lucky, but I also was conscious that the right price rises were going to increase for some of these players. So if you guys are interested, and I think last week, I don't know whether we said this on air or off air, but because we have 2 weeks of international break, there's 1 week and then there's 2 full weeks of international break, you might actually catch some of the price rises, cash out on some of the price rises, because there are potential for players to increase in price twice.
Yeah.
So it's something that worthy to consider if you are thinking of wildcarding, you're listening to our pod on a Tuesday morning, then that's the best time for you to do it before 9:30 a.m. Yeah. If you already have a wildcard draft.
So I think on your point on the price changes, I think that's why I'm a bit critical of Lukman's decision to delay his wildcard, because I think all these price rises that you get, right, you're missing out on it now. Right, I think that's one of the things.
I agree. Yeah.
That I am of
my team value sucks big time, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Good job, Anwar. Great workout. And did you mention what transfers you gonna do this coming game?
Not yet. So last week I mentioned that I needed 2 free transfers. As best as possible to be a bit more flexible, and needed 2 free transfers for me to maneuver any possible injury crisis. And I think for this week, I'm considering bringing Colville out for another defender, whether Newcastle defender Sven Botman. I had Sven Botman in my draft before I changed him for Colville. Kufal also looks like an option, but for this case, I'm gonna keep it till late, because I think it's not a big fire to fight, and I think I'm still okay because Aston Villa and Spurs game go good all the way until game week 11. So I can keep game week 10 and game week, I can roll game week 10 transfer into game week 11 and then see how I wanna face these players out from game week 12, 13 onwards. Yep. So Yeah, they probably call me
actually, for listeners, if you guys are following our teams, I think me and Anwar's teams is a good case study to see whether the Salah or no Salah strategy works.
Yeah. And Lokman just participating.
I'm a keen observer. It's a good thing I didn't work out with you, bro. So we have more talk points. So I'm gonna hopefully I work out like in
maybe, maybe yours is a case study on a early work out or a late work out. That could be a good case study yourself. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, let's move on to the mini league. I think we are running a bit late. Yeah. So let's move on to the mini league. At number three, we have the previous guy who's been on the podium on with number one before, Imad Nawar from Egypt with the team name Nawar Rations. Second place, we have Ilyas Wee. I think he's new to the podium. His team name Good Emery. And in first place, we have someone who moved from third place to the first place this week, Gary Au with the team name Tesi Siutai. All right, so what Gary did with his team is that he brought in Udogi for Asupina. I think it's quite a simple, straightforward move. And how his team is shaped up this week is a 3-4-3. Sanchez in goal. Defenders are Poro, Pinoc, and Pau Torres. Pau Torres with the goal this week. So quite a differential pick for his team. I think most people have cash. He has Pau Torres instead in the team. Yeah. So in the midfield, he has Salah as captain. I think most people who did well this week, captain Salah. Yeah. Rashford, Douglas Lewis, and M. Bremo. Up front, he got Archer, Watkins, and Haaland. I think going forward, he has Saka and Botman on the bench, so I think those guys can come in for maybe the Archer and Bremo spots. So I think personally, what I'm looking at to do is maybe upgrade that spot for Douglas Lewis and Bremo. Or yeah, I think what I don't quite like is that there's too much money on the bench at the moment, right? So I think he will have to downgrade one player and upgrade another player. I think Douglas Lewis, I don't like him in the team. So I think that's probably the first priority transfer I would do for this team.
Just a quick one. Even if you can afford Poro over Udogi, right, I think Poro looks like a better defensive, better option than Udogi, in my opinion. Because if you look at the last game, right, Poro actually came in with quite a couple of goal scoring chances. Much more than Udogi has probably in the last couple of game weeks. So just a quick one on Poro. I really like him as a potential asset if you don't have him yet.
Okay. Yeah, so just as a reminder, we do give out a Premier League jersey of choice to the season winner of our league. You may find the league code at the Telegram channel where we administer our league and interact with the community.
Yep. We appreciate all of your support. Thank you for listening to us week on, week off. And don't forget to give us a like, subscribe, and share on all our socials. You can find FPL Kopi Talks on Instagram, on TikTok, on Facebook, YouTube, and X. The links are embedded in the descriptions below.
Sorry, we'll be back in 2 weeks' time to review Game Week 9 post-international break. Any questions, just hit us on our socials. Thank you, ABK.
Thank you, Lukman.
Thank you, Anwar.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you to me. Enjoy the rugby quarterfinal World Cup this coming weekend. We are FPL Kopi Talks signing out.
You're listening to FPL Kopi Talks. Right here. Right now.